Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here as we continue our simple goal, that is reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. I'm honored to be here with you, I should say, and a welcome invitation for you to join us anytime you have the opportunity at the Arlington Church of Christ. You can find any lesson in this series, by the way, online, www.readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on the radio programs. Today's is entitled, How to Repent of Your Sins. Now, dear friends, although we do not like to maybe talk about sins, it is a Bible truth. Paul states it best in the 3rd of Romans, the 23rd verse, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, dear friends, too many times, good-meaning Christian brothers and sisters, they think, well, because all sin, therefore I should sin. Dear friends, just because all men sin does not give you or me or anyone a license to go out and sin. In fact, if you're going out and sin just so you can be forgiven, well, then you've missed the whole point of the 6th chapter of Romans, verses 1 through 4, where Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And then he says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, being raised to walk in a newness of life?" He says we don't go out and sin just so we can get forgiven, dear friends. We also see from the 6th of Romans, jumping on down to the 23rd verse, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." We have a blessed hope of Jesus Christ giving us life, yet at the same time, the other side of that coin, sin brings forth death. In fact, James puts it this way in the 1st of James, the 14th verse. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." We see here that we all sin when we are drawn away from our own lust. When we go away from what God has said, when we leave God, that leaves an empty spot in our lives, and sin always tries to fill it. As we look here in the 2nd chapter of 1 John, beginning in verse 15, John categorizes every sin that ever has been sinned, maybe occurring at this very moment, and will possibly occur. He says, "Love not the world, and neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." See, every sin, go back to the first one in the Garden of Eden. It falls into those categories of either the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. It feels good to my body, it looks good to my eyes, or it can make me very prideful. Well, dear friends, as we begin our course of study for today, in that asking a question, how to repent of my sins, to me there's no better place to go than the 51st Psalm. Psalm 51. We go to the Old Testament. I love history, love the Old Testament. I have a deep appreciation for the book of Psalms. I have preached every psalm in the book of Psalms as its own sermon before. There are just so many wonderful things in this wonderful book here, dead center in the middle of the Bible. To set the scene, the story of David as king occurs in the 2nd book of Samuel. I've titled 2 Samuel, The Successes and Sins of King David. First 10 chapters, successes, 11 through 20 sins, and then the last 4 chapters kind of wrap up the book there. We see that in the 11th chapter, David spies a woman named Bathsheba. Now, without going too far into this, I do feel the Bible students familiar with this story. But if you want to hear a further explanation, we studied this in depth. Took us 2 radio programs to do. You can find them archived on my website, readingtheword.net, www.reading, readingtheword.net. Click on radio programs. You'll see all lessons on all 3 kings of Israel, but you're looking for the one on David. David goes into Bathsheba, lies with her. She becomes pregnant. Oh no, what do we do? David realizes that he has sinned. We see in Psalm 51, although we are not highlighting the fact that he sinned in a way of praising it, we're highlighting the fact that he sinned and he repented of his sin. Now, he still has to live with the effects of his sin, but at the same time, he knows that he was forgiven. Notice with me the title of the 51st Psalm. Not every psalm has a title ascribed to them, but the oldest surviving manuscripts or autographs, if you will, of the ancient text do have this there, so it provides some background for us. It says, to the chief musician, so it is to be performed publicly. A psalm of David, he's the author. When Nathan the prophet came unto him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. Well, in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, Nathan says, thou art the man, accuses David, basically of murder, which David was guilty of, accuses him of sin, which David was guilty of. So why are we looking at Psalm 51 here in just a moment? I can read the accounts in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, and I love studying through, preaching that. I preached that not too long ago, actually. But I love Psalm 51, because Psalm 51 is what's going through David's mind. Here is a personal side, a second glimpse at the story, if you will. We see what is David thinking after he has done this heinous sin with Bathsheba. Now, dear friends, before we go to our break, we need to remind ourselves that every sin is heinous. Every sin is defined as missing the mark, 1 John 3, 4 or following. We do not praise the sin. We do not love the sin. In fact, you hate the sin and you love the sinner, and we love the sinner in this story. His name is David. But we need to take us a quick break. Why? Brother Dearman's going to invite you to come out and worship with us at Arlington. I would invite you to do the same. When we come back on the other side of this break, we will figure out, how do I repent of my sins from the viewpoint of a sinner? Here on Reading the Word.
Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Once again, a warm invitation for you to come join us at Arlington. Any chance that you may get, you would be our welcome and our honored guest. We're in Psalm 51. You can find any lesson in this series, by the way, online at www.readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. We're asking the question, how do I repent of my sins? And we're looking at it from the viewpoint of a sinner, that being David in Psalm 51 after he has sinned with Bathsheba. And really, dear friends, there's three avenues, three points I want us to discuss in our time remaining of how do I repent of my sins, and we'll have a bonus one as well. Number one, how do I repent of my sins from Psalm 51? Look at verse 3. We must acknowledge our sin. As Psalm 51 and 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. See, David had to man up, had to be a real man, as we would often say, and he had to admit that he had not lived up to the life that God commanded him. He had to acknowledge. And dear friends, we cannot move on. We cannot grow, and we cannot be forgiven of any sin in our life if we do not first acknowledge our sin. Now, David is not saying, I'm proud of what I've done. David is not saying, I'm happy and I have gone home and kicked the legs out on my recliner, crossed my legs and watched my favorite show. I'm so happy. He's remorseful. He's upset. He's in sorrow. He says, I acknowledge my transgressions. I acknowledge my sins. Dear friends, if I want to repent of sins in my life, first and foremost, I have to admit that there's sin in my life. You can't be forgiven if you do not acknowledge. We all know that we've already discussed Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, how do I repent of my sins from the viewpoint of a sinner in Psalm 51? Well, we must be purged. We must be purged, and by that, as a Christian today, we mean we must remove that sin in our life. We do that by praying for forgiveness. Notice Psalm 51 and the 7th verse. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. We must be purged. We must be cleansed. I think about the process of smelting metal. Smelting silver, gold. Maybe you have mined some silver or gold. You throw it in a furnace and you get it really hot and you turn it into from a solid to a liquid state. In that, the metal will be heavier than the impurities. The metal will fall to the bottom, and at the top you'll have the sludge, and you'll dredge it off. You will purge it with fire. You will remove the impurities, pour it out, let it harden into the mold, into the shape that you want it to be, which is what God does with our lives. We must be purged of our old sins. He says, "Purge me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow." Why, making it brand new again. It's as if I had never happened, as if I'd never sinned, right? I think about pure white as snow. You know, there's only one reference, and that's in the second book of Samuel, by the way, that we see the word snow in the Bible actually mentioning snow. Every other time it refers to white, to pure. I love seeing a snow fall, and I love it after it has fallen, especially if it's fallen overnight and I wake up in the morning. Look out, and maybe you see a few animal tracks through the yard or whatever the case may be. Maybe people are not on the roads, and it is just pure, it's white, and then, you know, it is wonderful. We must be purged of our sins to be forgiven. Number three, how do I repent of my sins from the life of a sinner? Well, we live life anew. Join with me in Psalm 51, beginning in verse 10. "Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy spirit," thy free spirit. I'm reminded of what Jesus Christ tells the woman that's brought to him, caught in the middle of the act of adultery, John 8 and 11. He says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Jesus forgives her of her sins, and he doesn't say, "Go crawl back in bed with that man." No, friends, he says, "Don't you dare be doing it again. Go live life anew." I think about those in 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22, where Peter says, "After having escaped the pollutions of this present world and are entangled therein, their latter end is worse in the beginning." And then he uses the example of a clean pig goes to wallow in the mire again. Well, the pig knew that's what got it dirty in the first place, or the dog that returned to its own vomit. Peter says, those of us as Christians that have obeyed, been forgiven, live in life anew, we go back to that life of sin. It's a worse outcome for us. And if we've never obeyed, why? Because we know what got us there, and we came out of it, and we willfully returned. How do I repent of my sins, dear friend? Number one, I acknowledge my sin. Number two, I must be purged, praying for forgiveness. And number three, I live life anew. Here's your bonus step as we close. That's found in verse 13, Psalm 51. How do I repent of my sins from the viewpoint of a sinner? "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Our bonus step is to teach others. You know, we must tell others how we have been forgiven. Because salvation is not just to you or to I, dear friend. In fact, Paul says in Romans 1:16, "Power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek." So I must teach others. And in doing so, I'll also continue acting upon step number three, that is living life anew. We are not glorifying our sins, although the world wants you to. The world wants you to sin and then rejoice over it. Dear friends, we don't do that. We are remorse of our sins. We don't sin on purpose, but when we do sin, we need to be forgiven. And so this is how you repent of your sins, according to Psalm 51. Verse 3, he says, you acknowledge your sin. Too many times, dear friends, I have seen someone who knows the truth, who knows they are caught up in a sin, but they don't want to acknowledge it. Because by acknowledging it, then they must repent of it. Dear friends, we must acknowledge our sin, change our life, be purged, live life anew, and then teach others as well. We appreciate you being a part of this episode of Reading the Word. We'll begin a brand new topic of study next week at the same time. Until then, may the good Lord bless you. And may he keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.